You all appreciate my brothers from the CMA. Yeah, let's give them a hand. How many of you all had heard of CMA before today? A few, wow, actually quite a bit. I heard about them about 4 years ago at a bike blessing. I went there, and I go there every year because I'm part of the superstitious that like to have my bike blessed. It's a good thing. And I saw a gentleman get up there to give the blessing, and he looked kind of familiar to me. In fact, I worked with him for, 12 years now or so. And I was like, why has this joker not told me about this? I can ride my motorcycle and serve God at the same time? So needless to say, we had a discussion at work the next week, and I have now been a part of the San Pedro Servants Chapter for 4 years, and I absolutely love it. What a worthwhile ministry. And there's 10 chapters here in the state of Arizona. I'm not sure how many are in the U.S. now. They keep growing all the time. In fact, our chapter here, which is predominantly Sierra Vista, also has some members from Benson. And in January, Benson's going to have their own chapter. Can you give a hand for that? It's good stuff. So the title of my message today is Never Lost or Alone. And if you saw the marquee as you were coming in today, there's an implied statement in there that I didn't use in the title, but you need to hear it. With Jesus, we are never lost or alone. And in my research and prayer time, going to God on this to put this message together, I was like, Lord, why this? Why now? And over the next couple weeks, he made that very clear to me. When Pastor Marge came up here and spoke that word, she talked about a spirit of division and a spirit of deception. And the one spirit I've seen even more lately that makes my stomach turn is the spirit of suicide. It's too much. Cancer's flying all over the place. People are ready to take their own lives. Christians are ready to say, I've had enough. Psh, psh, pills, guns, it's got to stop. What you need to know about the spirit of suicide is that if it's present, the devil's quaking in his boots. It's a desperate act by the enemy to take out God's children so they can fulfill and step into the destiny that God called them. Amen? You can say amen on that. Amen. Spirit of suicide. For months now, we've been hearing messages on the counterculture. In some areas, suicide's trendy. It's cool to do. Because you're saying, I don't need this life. I don't need to be here. I'm out. Deuces. Not cool. That is a lie. That is a deception. And if you remember my counterfeit culture message, forget about it. You don't need to hear that. You don't need to do that. And what I'm getting ready to share with you, what God gave me is, you don't need to listen to the lie, because with Jesus, you are never alone and you are never lost. In the CMA, you heard Hal say we're out there to win one heart at a time. We go out into the lost world, brothers and sisters in Christ, changing the world one heart at a time. It's missionary work by design. And evangelical in its roots. Most, if not all, of our CMA members have come from some tough past and have experienced some incredible trials and tribulations that you just heard from my two brothers. Those of God's children in the motorcycle riding community who are still lost and can easily relate to us because we've been there. I even look like a degenerate, so I'm approachable. They get me. And the message I convey to them is, and you know, when you talk to them, it's like, wow, if God did that for him, surely he could do that for me. But you don't have to be a biker to be lost or alone. Like bikers, lost souls are always in search of some kind of connection, looking to belong to something and feel part of something larger than themselves. unfortunately, they don't always find or choose the right thing to connect to. It could be gangs, drugs, sex, etc. The list goes on and on. Anything to mask or hide the pain of feeling alone in the world. Now, you heard as part of our CMA vision and purpose, our charter is to minister to the secular biking community. So, unfortunately, if you guys don't have motorcycles, we can't minister to you. I'm kidding! In fact, many times, we find ourselves wearing our colors and ministering to everybody that gets put in our path. Whether they don't have to be on a motorcycle or bicycle or quad or whatever, we minister to everybody that God puts in our path. Amen? So today I want to quickly examine some dynamics of being alone. This will include what I call the perils of solitude, reactions when we're alone in either the valley or wilderness experience. Lastly, I want to give you a technique that I learned in the Army back in 1995. We'll call it spiritual land navigation. In case you get lost or alone, or if you think that you're lost or alone, when you have known points in front of you. So the perils of solitude, I got a couple scriptures to give you. The first one comes out of Genesis 2, verse 18. Now the Lord God said, "It is not good or beneficial for man to be alone. I will make him a helper, one who balances him, a counterpart who is suitable and complementary for him." The next scripture I have comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. "Two are better than one because they have a more satisfying return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and does not have another to lift him up." Generally speaking, humans do not like to be alone for any extended period of time. Sure, we all like our quiet time or our me time. I got that. I like it too, but not for too long. My wife can do it way longer than me. But at some point, we are driven by the need to connect with someone or something somehow. Consequently, there are people who do not like being alone, like me, and some who are downright phobic about it. Let's see what the Word says about being alone. In Genesis 2, God knew this about man. Man was good. Creation was good. But he knew that man, it was not good for man to be alone. So much so that he created a companion because it was not good for Adam. As human beings, we are all prone to fall at times because we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Some of us more than others. But that's besides the point. So when we fall, it's better not to be alone. It's better for someone else to be there to pick us up, or for us to be there for someone else to pick them up. It's about connection. It's better to be with someone else when we fall. It's not a matter of if, but when. So what happens in the perils of solitude? Our reactions. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 1, the next scripture, the Bible says, "He who willfully separates himself from God and man seeks his own desire." "He quarrels against all sound wisdom." That is very interesting. When we're alone, especially if we do it willfully separate ourselves from anything and everything, dislocating, isolating, it keeps us in the soulish realm, where we ultimately act on our own desires. And the Word tells us we should not lean on our own understanding. But when we're alone, we do stupid stuff. Listen, I'm not pointing fingers at you guys. I never say anything from the pulpit that I haven't done myself. Amen? Here is where we are vulnerable to sin reactions, to please the flesh. It is in these solitary moments where the enemy seeks his opportune time to influence us through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You've all seen those National Geographic channels in the Animal Planet, and there's that herd of antelope on the Serengeti in Africa. And one little weak one seems to drift off to the side. And there's this big lion with drool hanging out of his jowls, waiting in the weeds for the opportune time to go get that one because it's been separated. And woe to that antelope or gazelle or wildebeest that is separated from the herd. Are you hearing where I'm going with this? That's the opportune time when they're alone to be devoured by the enemy. There is no wisdom to be found when we are operating or leaning on our own understanding, and it gets compounded when we do it willfully. Do not forsake the assembly. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just how we're made. But when we're alone and we're operating in the soulish realm, that's when we raid the fridge and overeat. Look at things on the internet that we're not supposed to. See, and there you got to understand something here. I'm reading a book right now that talks about yielding and believing. Christians, new, mid-road, seasoned, are pretty open to yielding to God. They recognize the supreme power of the Most High God, and they're cool with that. But at some point, they begin to atrophy in their belief. Tony, what do you mean by that? If you believe in God, God is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, knows everything, and omnipresent, is there all the time. What are you doing when you're alone if he's right there looking at you? That is blatant disrespect and disregard for the omni-everything God. You don't believe. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself. You're alone and you're doing what you're not supposed to be doing. It ain't nobody else's fault. You don't believe. Oh, it got so quiet in here. Why is he talking about me? I do it too. I'm not condemning anybody, but Holy Spirit's obviously convicting up in this joint. The Valley Experience. The next verse is from one of my favorites, Psalm chapter 23, verse 4. You've all seen and heard this one before, I'm sure, but I'll go ahead and read. Even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort and console me. The valley of the shadow of death. Thinking that's not where I want to be ever. This most certainly does not sound like a place anyone wants to be. And it's definitely not a place we want to be alone. This verse has often been cited by soldiers in combat before a potential enemy encounter. The Yadrang Valley in Vietnam immediately comes to mind from the history books. They referred to that valley as the Valley of Shadow of Death. All that's beside the point. The key takeaway from this passage is this. Even in this dark place of death, he is with us. We're not alone. We are comforted and consoled by him in the worst places imaginable. We should remember that when we are anywhere where it seems too much to bear and alone. The wilderness experience, my favorite. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Well, this just got interesting. We talked about the valley experience. Now we're talking about the wilderness. But here, the word tells us that Jesus, the Son of God, was led to this place by the Holy Spirit. Hold that thought for a second. What? This is a bit of a game changer. We normally associate a wilderness experience with a time period where it's hard to hear God. Anybody ever felt that before? It's hard to see God, and generally speaking, very lost in the woods. Most believers I know, to include myself, do not like these experiences. It rattles our faith because the loneliness and the perception that God is not with us, or that we're cursed, or he doesn't love us, overwhelms us and clouds our judgment, shakes us to the bone. But what if we are led to the wilderness by the Holy Spirit? Because there's something that we have to understand, and I love this about our Jesus. Never, ever, ever does he ask us to do anything before having done it himself to show us. That's leadership. Nothing we go through did he not do himself first to show us. Changes our perspective on this in this instance of being alone. Maybe God needs our undivided attention. Maybe he wants us to free the white noise from everyday life to hear him. Maybe he wants us completely emptied out, like not eating for 40 days, like Jesus did, to the point where he hungered and thirsted. So God can get us empty to pour into us what needs to be there. Amen? What's the takeaway from this scripture? Even in the wilderness experience, we're never alone. Now I want to talk to you about some spiritual land navigation. I'm going to draw a little analogy for you here from my time in basic training back in 1985. But first, let's go to Isaiah 41, verse 10. We got that one? Yeah. This is so good. Do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous hand. Okay, let me tell you about this little technique. In basic training, you have to learn the basic combat skills to shoot, move, communicate, and survive on the battlefield. 8 weeks of pure hell, doing all kinds of things I had never done before, generally not a good experience. So in the map reading portion, the land navigation portion, they introduced us to a technique called resection. Never heard of it before. But it's built on the premise that for whatever reason, if you happen to get lost on the battlefield, use this technique and you can find out where you are and make yourself unlost. Well, this bothered me a little bit because I don't like the idea of being lost on the battlefield to begin with. And I surely don't like the idea of trying to figure out mathematical equations to figure out where I am. Math is a four-letter word with me. Anyway, back to resection. They give you a lensatic compass that is really no bigger than a flip phone. Who remembers flip phones? Yeah. They give you a paper map, which most people don't even use anymore because we have GPS. And they give you a protractor, a little square thing that helps you draw straight lines on the map. So you have this lensatic compass, and you get into a nice good stance, and you got to take off your helmet, which was a steel pot at the time, and your load-bearing equipment because it has metal on it, and all that stuff on you will throw off your magnetic azimuth that you shoot at these known locations, right? So you look out into the wilderness or the valley or wherever you find yourself, and you find three known points, and you go, bam! You take an azimuth, you look down at the dial, see what the number is. That's a magnetic azimuth. Then you do number two, bam, and you write that down or else you forget. You do number two, you got your second magnetic azimuth. You do number three, you got three azimuths now, but they're all magnetic. You need a grid azimuth because you're going to transfer that stuff to the paper map. So you have to use this thing in the bottom of the map called the declination diagram that shows you the difference between true north, magnetic north, and grid north. So when you take your magnetic azimuth, you do a little simple equation, but it was hard for me, and you convert that magnetic azimuth to a grid azimuth and plot it on those three known points. And then you take that protractor and you put the X, the crosshair of the protractor, center mass of those three known points, and you draw a straight line 180 degrees from the magnetic azimuth converted to grid azimuth. When you do that for all three lines converge back here. That's where you are. So you are never lost, never alone. When you have your lensatic compass, your paper map, and your protractor, and three known points. Tony, what are you talking about here? Why in the world are you teaching us military map reading in a sermon? I'm going to show you. It's very simple. You always have three known points. Wherever you are, God the Father, true north. Jesus, the Word, the truth, the life, grid north. The paper, the Word. And of course, Holy Spirit, magnetic north. These are three known locations. Whether you're in the desert, on the mountaintop, in the valley, in the wilderness, it doesn't matter where you are. You can always find yourself. You are never alone. I'm closing. The devil, the enemy of our souls, would have you to believe that you are alone and abandoned by God. He had that thing working with me for a long time. I believed I was cursed. I believed God hated me. He took my mom when I was 4 years old, and that's a no-no in my book. A year later, my father said, "You know what? Peace out, man, I'm out." Never saw my father again. Not a good way to start for a four-year-old boy. Would you say that it would have been easy for me to believe that I was alone, cursed, and unloved by God? Sure. It culminated on New Year's Eve when we were going into 2004 with an attempted suicide. But there's good news, folks. I'm still here. It's in this isolated, lonely place where we are most vulnerable to his attacks. The devil even tried it with the Son of God. So surely he will try it with us. Ultimately, in those places of feeling alone or lonely, we're so prone and vulnerable to making poor decisions, and we immediately fall into sin and rebellion and out of alignment with God. I hope you were blessed today. Carry it in your hearts. Apply it. You're never lost. You're never alone. You always have three known points. Do not forsake the assembly. Connect to somebody. Tell somebody when you're feeling that way. It doesn't get better with age. And get your fourth point of contact to the altar and get some prayer. It doesn't have to stay that way. But we get so wrapped up in our emotions in the soulless realm that we stay lost and stay alone, and it's our own fault. But I hope you all understand God loves you, God blesses you, and you are never truly lost or alone. I will leave you with this final scripture, Psalm 73, verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. So when you get in that wilderness experience, or that desert dry place, or that valley experience where you can't feel, see, or hear God, reach out your right hand. Grab onto Daddy. He'll take you out of there. God bless you.